nailed it. Hi, how are you? Fine, and how are you? This thing is so thick, I'm not sure where we're starting. Budget allocation, Northwest, KwaZulu. I want to cut the presentation, so thick, milestones to date, project management structure, project approval, like it. Let's also welcome our friends from the media. He's interested in this discussion today. I'm not sure why. I mean, we've been having these hearings for the last 2 weeks, and we did not see such a big presence from the media. And here they are today. Welcome to you, ladies and gentlemen, from the media. And let's then welcome the two departments that are before us today, Water Affairs, DME. Transport could not make it because the DG is not available, and they've sent us, have asked for copies of their reports. They'll be appearing before us in the third quarter. And so let's allow, Water Affairs, have you settled down now? Are you ready? All right. Now, you've got a very long presentation. There are two. I'm trying to check which one are we going to be using. Can you assist me? Are we going to use this one or this one?
This one.
This one. All right. If that is the case, Water Services Bulk Infrastructure Program. That's only bulk infrastructure here.
If I can just explain, you asked for information specifically on the operation and maintenance subsidy that we provide to municipalities. And you also requested information on the bulk infrastructure program. So we do have two presentations. we will be guided by you as to how we can handle those.
No, that's fine, madam. Thanks for the explanation. The problem is that it's so bulky. All the submissions are so bulky. And I'm not sure how to handle them. All right, let's start then with this one. And then we'll then come back to bulk infrastructure. And I think what we must then do is just to skip the ordinary boring stuff of the visions and missions and other things, and just get into the nitty-gritties of the... What we want you to talk about then are firstly the performance of this money, but secondly, what are the risks at this stage? Is there a risk of over our understanding? What is being done about that? Then let's not talk about the glamorous story, the achievement. It's a good thing to have achievement. But for now, let's talk about the challenges and what is being done to address those challenges. And the ball is in your court then, madam. You can share.
Thank you, Chairperson. My colleague, Lerato Mokoena, who is the program manager, will deal with the presentation. Over to you, Lerato.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you to my DDG. Basically, what we have, what was originally allocated to us was $1.4 billion. And we revised that allocation based on the fact that some of the municipalities were ready with their refurbishment plans that we didn't have money for, but we managed to source out some money from DWAF to augment the refurbishment so that we can be able to refurbish some of those schemes. in this financial year. That's why our revised allocation is more than what we had originally. And expenditure now is based on the revised allocation. As you can see, some regions are doing very well. Some are not doing so good. Let's take KwaZulu-Natal, for instance. You have 25.8%. It's because their refurbishment plans were due last week. So we are still busy looking at them before we can transfer money to the municipality. We hope to do that by the end of next week. So the percentage there will come up. It won't be fiscal dumping by the end of March. We'll do it now. The rest of the other regions are doing quite well. I can only take Western Cape. Western Cape is doing well. It's at the target. And the allocations for the end of January will be transferred either tomorrow or by next week. So our percentage will definitely come to 100%. We don't see any overspending or underspending. We don't anticipate it at all. What is more? I'm gonna go up to our challenges. What is more important to us is to finalize the transfers of staff by the end of March. And to finalize, we've got about 5 municipalities that we still need to finalize transfers on. And we are about 90% on those municipalities. So definitely by the end of March we would have achieved our transfer agreement, and we are positive that we'll achieve staff transfers, because we still have to transfer about 3.7 staff that we have seconded to the municipalities. Like I said the last time I was here, that our main challenge was in Mpumalanga, but we are really, really working very hard to get those staff transferred. Out of the 3.7, the Mpumalanga staff is 1.1. So that 1.1, we are hopeful that by the 1st of March, we would have transferred those staff members. And from there, we are going to be left with some staff members that we are going to be left within the corporate pool. And we are going to have to look at what the other regions' needs might be, because we might be having extra staff members that are left within the pool in KwaZulu-Natal, for instance. And you might have people, municipalities within the Eastern Cape that still need staff. So we will sort that staff from the corporate pool. I think I'll end there. Oh no! Another thing that we are busy doing now is monitoring the compliance of DORA by municipalities. It's very important to us, because it makes us look bad, whereas we are not the bad people. So we make it our main function that within these 3 months their compliance will be our responsibility as well. Thank you, sir.
Proposed solution.
The proposed solution is to have those outstanding agreements signed. Like I say, we will sign them. We are 95% there, so we'll sign them by the end of March. And the schemes that need to be refurbished this financial year, as I said, the refurbishment plans are on the table. We are finalizing to relook at those, and so that we can approve the money that goes towards refurbishment. And the staff, we will transfer that 3.7 staff by the end of March. And monitoring, like I said, it's our duty. We are doing that. And we are facilitating also the aftercare program, so that we can see that the people that we transfer to municipalities are integrated properly within the municipality. Thank you, Chair.
Now, about infrastructure program.
Thank you very much.
Sir, just before that, I'm looking for figures on this Mpumalanga so much, but I'm not picking it up in this. That figure, I didn't pick it up here. So there's a different presentation there, what we have seen into this one. Because I would like to see how many staff in Limpopo is not transferred, how many in Mpumalanga is not transferred yet, It was also indicated here, proposed resolution to have 5 outstanding agreements signed by March. If I, in my head, can remember...
Okay, we'll come back to that. You know, you guys are raising a pertinent question. We'll come back to that.
Yeah. But as I say, I haven't got that figure
now
in front of me.
We also don't have it. We'll come back to that.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. let's take bulk infrastructure.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, before I get to bulk infrastructure, let me ask for an opportunity and take advantage of the fact that we do have DME and ESCOM here, just to share with the committee the kind of initiatives that our department is engaged on with ESCOM, particularly to ensure that we as a department do provide water, or rather we are planning doing our work to make sure that we support ESCOM as one of our strategic uses of water. Just briefly, the legislative framework provides us with guidelines, and as a department, we have a responsibility to make sure that we do have water to support economic, social, and environmental factors. And within that framework, ESCOM is identified as one of the 26 strategic users of water. So in everything that we are doing as a department, ESCOM, you know, a company like ESCOM, organization like ESCOM, does receive priority in as far as allocation of water is concerned. We do have various studies that we are conducting currently in areas that have been identified by ESCOM as areas that will require additional water. So, Chair, without really getting into detail, I would like to say, as a department, in addition to the work that we are doing, we are also working on a strategy, a much more relevant strategy that is responding to ASCISA, to the industrial policy, to make sure that we position ourselves strategically and much more effectively to be able to provide ESCOM with water. Yeah. This is just an introduction, Chair, before I get to my presentation. My apologies, Chair. All right. If the Chairperson requires a comprehensive report on the work and studies that we are doing to support ESCOM, that report is available. Coming to the...
Just before you proceed, yes. See, part of the problem there, we were in one municipality, I'm not sure whether your regional manager did report to you. That, for instance, as a result, and I'm sure both of you would be interested in this one, because we were with your regional staff in the Eastern Cape, where the community in that area is not able to access water. Guess why? Because there is no electricity. In other words, the pumps have no energy to ensure that there is. In other words, there's this useful integration that all the time must be happening between yourselves as ESCOM. They will not be able to operate without you in terms of your generation. But on the one hand, communities would also not be able to have water precisely because of the lack of electricity. And I think it's a matter that we shall follow up ourselves in respect of that municipality, just to check how far ESCOM has assisted in ensuring that there is electricity there. Proceed, madam. So I'm just raising this in the context of the fact that I think what we're saying is from this meeting, you should not just take advantage of the fact that they are here. You should be having regular meetings in terms of planning how you do your service delivery. Okay.
Thanks, Chair. I have noted that. If we can come to my presentation, and I will really try and just focus on the key issues without necessarily going into detail. The presentation is titled Water Services Bulk Infrastructure Program. Just a brief background to this program. Chair, we all know that currently funding for infrastructure for provisioning of basic services is within the MEEG program. However, as a department, we picked up a problem where municipalities are struggling to find funds and to implement projects that are on a much more regional level. You know, specifically, we're looking here at projects that go beyond municipal boundaries. So we felt from the department side, given the information that we have and the capacity that we have, we could come in and assist municipalities to develop programs on that scale to assist their water services programs. So it is from that discussion that Treasury agreed to allocate an amount of 1.2 billion over a 3-year period, and the money was allocated to the department for implementation. I will just be looking specifically at the policies of the conditions without necessarily going into detail, but Treasury insisted on specific conditions under which the funding was to be utilized. And looking at the framework, we're looking at water resource development, the resource itself, which is usually a problem, regional park infrastructure, internal park, and one of the objectives of this program was to assist the bucket eradication program. We have had cases where within a municipality there wasn't enough park infrastructure to support the development of the, or rather the construction of flush toilets. So this fund was supposed to assist them. There were specific conditions that the Department of Treasury insisted on. I'll not be getting into that detail. But I think it is important to know that the special DORA conditions that Treasury insisted on was to, we need to make sure that there is appropriate involvement of the municipalities, even if it is the department that's responsible for implementation, that the ratepayers need to understand the implications and to avoid the problems that my colleague talked about with regard to transfer of infrastructure at a later stage prior to the implementation of the project itself. There should be agreement on the ownership, implementation, and more importantly, operation and maintenance plan, which is of concern currently. As I did indicate, I'm going to the slide that's headed funding. The allocation was over a 3-year period, starting from 07-08 up to 09-10, and it was 1.2 billion. This is basically how the funding was to be used. We, for program management, we allocated about 7 million and we looked at feasibility studies and we funded those. The funding really ranges from 39 to 50 million, but the bulk of the funding itself went to the development of the infrastructure. I think I did talk about the purpose of the funding, that so the conditions, National Treasury made it very clear that we need to distinguish between direct service delivery of articulation and funding, or other programs that are within the NIC program. There should be benefit of scale, integrated management, socio-economic development, and all those good things that infrastructure is supposed to come up with. I will not get into detail with regards to how we have structured the program, but Chair, it is very important for the committee to note that since this program was the first of its kind, we only started it last year, it took us a very long time, first of all, to come up with a policy, to agree on the criteria, to get agreement with the municipalities before we could kick off. That is why I have a slide specifically looking at the milestones. The slide indicates that February 7, we started with the policy development, and we've had to follow other procedures, including gazetting the allocation in DORA. And that only happened in September 07. So it means, in essence, the actual implementation took place started in October 07, and that will definitely have an impact on progress made to date and how much we will be able to spend. I'll be talking about that at a later stage. The next slide that says project approval agreement just shows the kind of issues that we looked at before we started with the program, the monitoring of and implementation of the program. We paid a lot of attention to that because currently I think it's a concern throughout that the ability of sector departments to monitor progress on the ground, especially in infrastructure development programs, is very limited, and that may have implications with regard to the sustainability of the infrastructure. So we looked into those, we provided strategic support, and we guided the municipalities with studies, and it is important that we spend adequate time looking at the feasibility of these projects to avoid a situation where project designs are not in line with the amount of water that is available, that is the resource itself. Chair, let me skip other slides and get to progress to date. Looking at province to province. So you can see this is the allocation starting with KwaZulu-Natal. I'm in the slide that says progress to date and looking at KwaZulu-Natal. That slide shows progress in KwaZulu-Natal. 5 infrastructure projects are at implementation phase and others are still in planning phase. As you can see, the expenditure to date is 35% as at end of December, but we are hoping that with the progress and the plans that have been put in place by the municipalities, they should be able to spend their allocation. And Chair, you will also note that most municipalities in KZN, relatively speaking, do have fairly amounts of capacity compared to other provinces. Looking now, going to Northwest, again, Northwest, we have broken down the allocation, look at the budget allocation itself, how much goes into management support, projects that are ready for readiness, and again, in this particular municipality, because we didn't have many of those projects, progress is fairly good. It's one of the municipalities, it's one of the provinces that are doing fairly well. I'll move and I'll try to move faster, Chair. Move to Northern Cape, again, the same kind of budget breakdown, and progress is at 47%. Again, in Northern Cape, we are hoping, and again, judging by the plans that have been put in place, that they will be able to spend the budget. Chair, it is, and I'm sure it is the concern of the committee, that the objective here should not be whether the budget is spent or not, but it should be on how the budget is spent and whether we do, there is value for money and whether the project delivers according to plans and the outputs that were stipulated. Going to Western Cape, here really the 3 implement projects that are ready for implementation and it only started in November. Again here, capacity, relatively speaking, capacity of municipalities in the Western Cape is fairly better than in other areas. There is no threat. Limpopo, Chair, we can look at the allocation there. Here there is a serious problem. You can see that it has one of the biggest allocation of 72 million, and even though projects are at implementation phase, 8 of those are at implementation phase, the progress to date has been very, very slow. This is an area where we may want to look at how we can reallocate the money and focus on feasibility studies so that in the next financial year, we are ready to implement, and we do put in place measures to complement the capacity of the municipality. So Limpopo is one of those areas that will require special attention. Going to the Eastern Cape also has significant, I think, allocation compared to other provinces. And again, Chair, in the Eastern Cape, even though some municipalities are progressing well, we are busy negotiating with municipalities. One of the dollar conditions is that if reallocation has to happen, if we are to move money from one municipality to another, there has to be an agreement between the two municipalities. So the municipality to which we're going to transfer funding and the municipality from which funding will be transferred, there has to be that agreement. So here we are currently negotiating with the municipality, and we're going to have an agreement to shift some of the funding to other municipalities that have that are ready to implement. And one of those is a municipality where there has been a budgeted education program, but there is still problems with regards to bus infrastructure to support the project itself. Gauteng, Chair, there isn't really much money that was allocated there. We are hopeful that, in fact, judging from progress to date, Gauteng will spend their allocation. Going to the Free State, Chair, you will recall that Free State has, or rather has, because progress has been made, one of the biggest backlog in the budget eradication program. And it is one province where the bus infrastructure itself will require a lot of investment and a lot of work to bring it to up to date, to be able to support growth in urban areas, housing, etc. So we had allocated 28 million. Even though there is progress, this is one of the provinces where we are monitoring very closely. Even though they have indicated that they will spend their money by end of March, we are monitoring the situation closely, especially because there are other major infrastructure development problems in the province. Mpumalanga, it has 29 million, and that's the least of the projects and how they have been allocated. The Chair and the committee may be aware of the problems that we have had with regards to infrastructure. Chair, I would like to say, with infrastructure, so we're looking at reallocating some funds to, particularly to Delmas, to deal with the poor conditions of the infrastructure in that area, and so that we don't have to face the challenges that we faced in the past with regards to the ability of the infrastructure to produce water to the required standards. Progress is slow again here, and it's one area that we're also monitoring. So those are really the risks in as far as the nine provinces are concerned. Chair, given that we started the program in October, and now I'm looking at the slide that says total spend to date. As you can see, progress, what has been spent to date is about 126, and we had about 300 million for allocation for this year. But according to our projection, we're still positive that the money will be spent by the end of the financial year. We will make sure that there isn't any fiscal dumping, because that will come back to us, and we will have to come and account to the committee. The key challenges, the procurement processes, Chair, within the municipalities are still a challenge. In some cases, we struggled to get agreements that are in line with the stipulations of DORA and National Treasury. In some cases, municipalities do not submit invoices in time, and usually they rush towards the end of the financial year. That is why we have always experienced a spike in terms of our expenditure just towards the end of the financial year. The capacity problems, we are all aware of those challenges. And of course, the fact that, I mean, before the project starts, there has to be clear agreement on how operation and maintenance of the infrastructure will be handled at a later stage. I've talked about the delay in starting the project, and that has really had a big impact on the progress made to date. And of course, Chair, as you would know from your own experience, working as departments with different responsibilities, aligning our programs so that we work together is something that we have to improve on. But I must say, in this case, we have worked well. We have managed to agree on key principal matters that would guide the program. In conclusion, we would say that we have put mechanisms in place to make sure that the program moving forward achieves its objectives. In fact, we are also looking at getting additional funding from National Treasury, because the need to fund bus infrastructure in the country is increasing. Allocation of funds for the first 2 years, so the $1.2 billion that we received initially has been allocated, and that is based on the studies that we have done in the past. We are hoping that the project under implementation currently will be finalized, and we will finalize the transfer of, rather the allocation of money between municipalities, as I did indicate earlier on. And we are reporting to National Treasury according to the framework they have provided us. Chair, that is where I would like to end my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, madam. Questions, comments, clarity, Mr. Robertson?
Chair, just a few comments and then one or two questions. Chair, the presentation looks very nice, but what concerns me is the nitty-gritty of getting it implemented. And Chair, what concerns me, or anyone, there's a question before that. If we go to the provinces, Chair, I would request to you that, and I'm going to refer to myself and my province, the Eastern Province, and I'm sure the other members here would want to know about their provinces, as to where these projects are, when they're going to take place, so us as members of Parliament can monitor these projects, Chair. Chair, I've got a great concern if we go to key challenges regional level and then to conclusions. Chair, I don't know, I may be wrong, but I doubt it, but I find there's a lot of contradictions there, where the challenges municipalities slow in procuring PSPs, require agreements not in place, inadequate capacity for adequate project manager, and so forth and so on. Then the conclusion, the first sentence is program structure is now well established. But there's a contradiction in the first two paragraphs. And then, Chair, lastly, my last question would be, if Graf can explain to us how they're going to implement this on the ground. What has been set in place physically and not the theory so much behind it? Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. I'm just going to start with Limpopo. My province, and this year is raining very nicely and water over.
You must want to start with the earlier questions you were raising. Remember, I stopped you in the other presentation.
Oh, the...
Yeah, this one. That's right.
Okay,
first, I think your question was about the list.
Yeah,
first of where yeah. Things are.
Okay, there was indication of so many staff transfer, but there was a total. I would like to know and have a list of each and every province and each and every project. How many staff is transferred to which municipality? Because I'm concerned. And perhaps I haven't got an answer, and perhaps it was not answered, is that staff would be transferred. In the previous presentation, they said they will support the municipalities with that staff. And those staff who are not taken in by that specific municipality, what will happen with that staff? Who will carry the cost of that staff? Because on the moment, some of the poor municipalities can't afford to pay that people. So for how long will this, and some of, I must be honest here, and you know that some of these municipalities who take over this project, in the next 10 years, they will not be sustainable for their own income. That's for sure. And they will be just getting bankrupt. So I just want to know exactly that issue, Chair. Chair, also in regarding of the contracts designed, I can remember, and if I can remember quite, but I'm an elephant, I'm old. Last year was actually said there was, I think, 3 or 4 outstanding, and it will be signed before the end of the year. Now there's 5 outstanding, will be signed by the end of March. What assurance will this committee have that 5 will be signed by this end of March this financial year? That must be ensured. We must have a commitment today that it be done, and the staff and everything.
Just before that, but which areas or municipalities have not yet signed?
Yeah.
You can also have that kind of a list.
And then I think there was actually, I think this, I was just checking this. Here, I think there was what, on that one slide, this was issue, was reporting that there's, I don't know, perhaps it was on the other one they was using, no, that will be on the other one, the questions on the other issue is, of investment, and the money is still not be spent. So, Chair, in regarding of that process, that is for that. Chair, to come back to the other report of the bulk water, I want to start with Limpopo, because I know what is actually in line of the Limpopo process. I'm concerned, Chair. This year, the last 5, 6, 7 years, there was a dry season, and people were suffering, there was no water at all. This year we have lots of rain. Now, for this period until now, let's not be spending any money there. If I'm taking that, what is the department doing to assist that municipality in Limpopo? What are they doing? Physically, I mean, if you see this, and say to come back to that, to say, if the capacity in one municipality is not there, you transfer money from one municipality to another one, it's not a resolution. I'm honest to say that. That's not a resolution. I want to know what capacity is the department done, water affairs, to assist that municipality. Did they make use of DBSA to, if there's a shortage of engineers, technical people, what is it, financial people, that they put people there to assist that municipality so they be sustainable. Otherwise, the thing can be dragged for years and years and years. And I want the answer on that issue of Limpopo. Then they said, long before you put it,
have they put aside money to build capacity in this municipality? In other words, is there some dedicated budget for capacity building in these municipalities?
And then was just the Free State, they said they need investments, but they didn't. They haven't spent the money what was actually allocated. So what? I'm not so sure what investments that they need. If they only implementation readiness is 1.4, but they received 28.62 million. And then also the transfers of the money. The transfer is done, and there's a readiness of what it be. You know, see, we find, and I just want to know, if money is transferred, and there's be you say million is transferred, and they say there's 800,000 used, what is the department department, insurance, that that money is be used and not lie in the bank. Transfers mean nothing for me, sir, and for this committee. But what is actually factually used on the ground? Spending. That is expenditure. But not only transfers, sir. And that's not for me clear. It's on the figures. And if they can assure us, this committee, that this money, what they said is transferred and spent, is differently spent according to the order general, then I'm happy. Then the chair, and then coming to, and I think my colleague have raised the situation of slow submission of invoices on work completed. Chair, I would like to know a list, that this committee have a list of those municipalities who didn't submit their invoices. Because not a single municipality, as far as I know, because most of this project is in the rural area, and not a single of these municipalities have money lying in the bank that they don't want to need that money if they spend it. I would like to know those municipalities who not submit their invoices. He says, in my province, I will contact that municipality and ask why they not submit their invoices. Is there a capacity problem? What is the problem? Why are they not doing that? What is the issue? I'm not just to say, not they submitted by February and a spike situation here. It's a little bit of a problem for me. Chair, and then just coming to the last point, key challenges. They're limited on budget, but they're not spending the money. So, I mean, there's money still available, but it's a limited on budget. So, okay, you see, I don't understand. You see, you've got not enough money, but there's still money available, but you never spend. The sustainability of the program will be continued after 3 years. Chair, I'm a little bit concerned. After 2 years, that we said, we are not so sure if this thing will be sustainable. Was there no study making to say that will be happened in the future? Because this program is for 3 years. Now, after 3 years, what will we find out? Perhaps, I don't want to say electricity, but suddenly we find out we handed over projects to communities and municipalities who are communities and say, oh, they're now deep in trouble. There's no money. They can't sustain it. They can't pay their people. And I'm concerned about that segment, Chair, to say that. And then, Chair, what is not acceptable to me, and I don't think for you, Chair, for this committee, inter-department politics between departments. Chair, I can throw in the towel to say, sorry, we gave over. If the departments and do this today, after so many years that we said that departments talk each other, and there's still politics between departments, then they must say which department don't want work to with whom, that we can get everyone under one roof, and that they said that they sort out their politics here in front of us in this room, and the media and everyone then available, that we can see who's the culprit into the process. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Robertson. Chair, I've been listening to my colleague, and just to add on to what he said, yesterday we had DPLG and DBSA for hearings with the Select Committee on Finance. Now, Chair, if we listen very carefully to DBSA's Department of Local Government yesterday, municipalities aren't doing their monthly annual report. The majority, I think 70% was the figure that was mentioned yesterday. But there's a serious problem there, Chairperson. And, Chair, I'd like to recommend that to get this thing going, otherwise we've got no chance, is to become hands-on the way DBSA is getting involved with municipalities. DBSA has proved that it does work when they do get involved on the ground, their own people, then it'll work. Otherwise, Chair, as my colleague Mr. Puerto said, I think we'll hear a different story. I'm just prepared to say in less than 3 years. Thank you, Chair.
All right, you know what we must just say in respect of what Mr. Potter says in the politics situation. We're not sure what the nature of the politics is, and I think it's a matter that we shall have to resolve sooner than later. And I'm just trying to think when can we have them done. All right, they must be called and locked. They must be locked into a room and throw away the key so that they resolve the politics. But I think what you've just said, Mr. Robertson, is also correct, because if there are these politics, then it means we will not resolve the problems of service delivery. And so we'd want to, National Treasury is represented here. Yes. And GPL is unfortunately not represented here. But what we must do is to ask a dwarf to convene a meeting in the next 7 days with DPLG, National Treasury, to resolve their politics. And would want to get the minutes of that meeting. And the deliberation and the solutions of the politics that of the issues you are raising as key challenges. You see, precisely because part of the problem here is the fact that if you are not talking to each other, then it means you then compromise service delivery. National Treasury must give you funding to ensure that these are done. DPLG, through their work with municipalities, must facilitate interaction with municipalities so that these things must start happening. So clearly they are not going to be happening if you don't. So we will be pleading with you just to say in the next 7 days, what is the date today? The 30th. And so when would be the 7th day today from today? Next Thursday on the State of the Nation. Let me see. We've got our own program here, so that we know exactly when we shall expect this report back. You will be appearing before us for the third quarter discussion. Not now. No, during the Division of Revenue bill discussion. Let me just look for the date here very fast. Division of Revenue, Dwarf. Yes, you'll be here on the same day, which is nice. If you can just diarize. It's going to be hearings on the Division of Revenue Bill, Dwarf, DPLG, DME, Housing, and SALG at the same day, on the 5th of March. And so between now and the 5th of March, we urge you to go back to just discuss the politics and resolve them, so that when we are discussing the rand and cents, we will be discussing the rand and cents on the 5th. The politics must have been resolved, okay? So please, just deal with that. Mr. Sokoi.
Thank you, Chairperson. I hope that you receive my apology. You know, maybe starting with the last chairperson, I think that I do like the mandate that has been given up to the 5th. But my own, what you call, working with these departments experience is that they have not succeeded, and I'll be glad if this time they prove me wrong. I remember the other year, there was a famous close 15 of dollars, I think it was 2006. It posed a lot of challenges, but I hope that this time it will be wrong. I mean, I'm wrong. But also, Chair, you know, just before I get to my question, you know, I think that what Comrade Botha was saying in terms of the question that he was raising around what assistance has been given to municipalities if there's no capacity. I think that in terms of the law, not just generosity of the department, but in terms of the law, your municipal finance management act, verse 34, capacity building, where it says the national and provincial government must, so there's no choice, it says must by agreement assist municipalities in building the capacity of municipalities for efficient, effective, and transparent financial management. But it goes on, and then 34.4 says non-compliance with this section or any other provision of this act by national or provincial government does not affect the responsibility of the municipality, its political factors, blah, blah, blah. In other words, the responsibility is not that of municipality. If the problem is that of capacity, then the responsibility is that of the transferring department, which has not provided that that capacity. So I think that then it becomes relevant that they must not just transfer what you call the fund, but ensure that capacity is built there to ensure that those programs are implemented. So, but I hope that in the program that you're talking about of the division of revenue, some of these responses will come out very clear. I arrived late. I got lost by the current questions. My first clarity is around the free state. In the free state, I think that it was clear that there are challenges from the presentation. It was clear that there are challenges. 28 million rand has been budgeted. Only 1.4 has been spent, according to this, what we call it, slide. Then it goes on and on. Mpumalanga, 29, almost 50 million rand. 2.5 has been spent. We are in what we call, this is the report, I presume, of the first and the second, what we call it, quarter. After the second quarter. But what is this percentage? Because it's less than 25%. For free state, for instance, less than 10%, even for what you call, even for Mpumalanga, it's less than 10%. Then I'm just wondering now the magic wand. And the presenter next to me, I think that she pointed out very clearly, she does not want a spike. I mean, if there is no spike, how are we going to get this magic wand to have this? If then the earlier, what you call a concern of building capacity with municipalities is not done. But also with the free state person, I think that maybe the problem was not made very clear. But I think that we do know that there are challenges in terms of those communities who are supposed to receive this resistance on the ground. What is it that the department is doing to ensure that it's working with those communities to ensure that we overcome the challenges that are there in terms of those communities, ensuring that, I mean, giving information to those communities, ensuring that those communities are clear that there are no water in those areas available, the scarcity of water in the areas. What is it that the department is doing? Because I think that people know that in Gauteng there's a waterborne storage, and therefore everybody wants this waterborne storage, even where there's no water. But unless somebody goes out to communities and they talk to them. The second question is around Mpumalanga. You know, Delmas now, it is the second time
in 3 years' time that there's been a breakout there in Delmas. And everybody is not responsible. Although everybody is still sensing each tier of government for the responsibility for the breakout of the disease there. But why is it that the Department of Water Affairs with the municipalities are not doing something to ensure that at least there's a water, what you call a reticulation in the area, so that we don't every second year have a break of this diarrhea and whatnot. That is one section. But the other section, the other part of the question, Captain, is I think it's governing baby. That we've been governing baby, you know? We got reports that says now the program of target eradication has been completed there. But the communities there, they rise and say there are no, what you call, target system. In other words, that there have been, what you call, they established to the satisfaction of the community. Now, that brings to question perhaps the authenticity of some of the reports that come from the ground. Again, question back to the department. If the department gets a report from the council that says we have completed the program, how does it, what you call it, does the department have mechanisms to ensure that if it is informed that the program has been completed, it is really what you call a completed? But Chairperson, the other one is the issue of protection. Well, I've already raised that issue that I think that between the department and ourselves, it's clear that the projection that perhaps they should be telling us that they are projecting understanding. Not what you call completing the budget, but understanding. Perhaps what we would need to hear is understanding by how much and what is being done then to ensure that we prevent the understanding. But there will be understanding. If at the end of the second quarter we spend less than 10% in some of the municipalities, you can't say that you'll spend 100% come the end of the financial year. The issue of procurement is related to issue of building capacity with municipalities. The last observation or submission by the department is that in conclusion was that they're looking forward to receive more funding. I think that you're right, Chairperson, when you say let's meet on the 5th of March and perhaps see, debate this question of whether more funding. At least they must get more funding. Because our 3 years experience is that people who have understood but gone on to look for more funding, it has also not helped us as people who must approve the budget for a department that we know for sure that it is not spending. Maybe they might not necessarily, what you call it, this question, respond to this question today, but they must in future tell us that how can we justify more funding as a committee. Thank you, Mr.
Okay. Yes, I'll just pick it up now, and I'm sorry that I come back. Coming back to Limpopo, I see all the projects, they accept one Bella Bella. He signed, and there's nothing to be done actually there of Bella Bella. The other nine projects was already signed 2005, 6, 2003, 4, 5. My question is, coming back to Che, all these municipalities there, who's actually there in that area, as far as I know the area very well, I have some time of capacity, and I don't know why is the money not spending there into that area, because all that area are screaming for water. I know all of them. Bupani, Vembe, Capricorn, Polokwane was sitting on a stage without water. Businesses were closing, not for only electricity, but for water, last year, the year before. And they have already signed in 2006. So was there no business plans to implement these issues? There was no rain on that time. But there was nothing done. Why is it now? Now there's so much rain. So the water comes, the transfers can't be done because there's too much water. Perhaps. So I'm worried to say, if that project already signed the agreement fully in 2003, Lephalala, and the Northern Lephele Northern Water Board in 2003, but the money for this financial year, the last one, is not spending. So, and I mean, Polokwane, Lephalala, and all those, the big municipalities, I know them, all of them. They have, must have, it's not in the rural area. There must be capacity. No? Was there no business plan? And I would like to perhaps also know, what was the spending the previous financial year? Was there rollovers? Thank you, Chair.
Chair, just to make a follow-up on that question. The Department of Water Affairs and Forests owes us a response with regard to the question that is being raised by my colleague. We do know that the Premier's office there, in fact, we informed the last hearing that Limpopo provincial government was spending 100 million rand on ensuring that at least there was water to capacity because Dwarf was not coming to dinner. And we had requested meetings between Dwarf and the provincial Limpopo government. We have not received those reports in terms of what is it that is being done? Because the equitable share, I mean, water, we all know that it's a competency of national government. And therefore, if the province has to sacrifice 100 million pounds so that the people must have access to water because God cannot provide water, then it means that there's a problem. Then how do we ensure that in the next financial year, the people does not want to call a sacrifice another 100 million rand because Dwarf does not want to call a provide, is not making provision for water in the area. Thank you.
All right. You know what we must do? Let's ask for a list of allocations from Dwarf to municipalities, province by province, so that we are better able to see which municipalities are given this money and how is this money performing. Because part of the problem is the fact that, as you all know, that some municipalities go to the GPSA and make some loans for sanitation, water provision, etc. So clearly, these are some of the things we need to deal with in terms of the other municipalities. DDG?
But Chair, I think that was there. Maybe we must also ask, we must also find out from DBSA, specifically for Limpopo, who owns, who has got a loan from them there in that area.
No problem. DDG and your team all on your own now.
Thank you, Chair. Please allow me to start with one important question on the politics between the departments. Please do allow me to explain this. First of all, let me apologize for using that unfortunate term. As officials, we have nothing to do with politics, and there shouldn't be any politics between the departments. Let me just try and explain what we mean, what we meant here, even though we have used a very inappropriate way. Chair, let's remove the term. Yes, please.
Sorry. Politics can also mean the political issues and differences between departments.
She did not mean that. What's it, madam?
Thank you, sir. Sir, let me just try and give background. The challenge here is, as you know, constitutionally, the provisioning of water and sanitation services, according to the constitution, is the responsibility of local government. Now, we as a department, the unfortunate thing is our minister is accountable for progress, for the achievements and the failures, if there are any failures, that are happening at that level of sphere of government. So we are in a very tricky kind of situation where we are supposed to take responsibility for what is happening at local government, yet we don't have that authority. Again, from the point of view that we are the custodian of the water resource, we are concerned about how the resource itself is utilized, whether it's used effectively, whether it can serve the other needs of other sectors of the economy, generally the environment, socio-economic, etc. So if
you are concerned, what are you doing about
exactly
it?
Exactly.
Not to be concerned is the other side, and something that you do in terms of program.
So it is from that concern that we approach National Treasury and say to them, even though to provide water is the responsibility of local government, we feel that we can come in and assist and deal with regional bulk infrastructure. Because as a department, we do have information on the allocation of the resource, water resource. We know how much water there is in one municipality and where we can best build a regional scheme. So it is from that perspective. Now, DPLG was of the view that we shouldn't do anything, we shouldn't have anything to do with actual implementation of projects because it's the responsibility of local government. I must say, Chair, we have that to resolve that took us a very long time. Treasury was involved as we had instructed, and they really supported the view because they understood that we had we do have a better kind of view of the resource and how it can best be managed. So that, I must say, Chair, we have really resolved this issue amongst the Trade Department. We have resolved it. That is why Treasury allocated the money, but there were strict conditions under which the money was to be used. And we all agreed on those conditions. And of course, we had to involve SALGA. We had to involve other departments that have anything to do with the infrastructure. But I'm not sure if with that explanation you would still like, but I think it will be important that we provide you with the information on how the decision was reached and the conditions.
Let me just ask one thing. Who wrote this submission? Who wrote this submission that you made today?
Which submission?
I'm saying it's a submission that has the word politics and other things. Who wrote it? Was it yourself or somebody else?
It's my program manager.
It is always prudent to do this thing called proofreading.
Yes,
so that
yes.
Next time you're not faced with this problem. Okay.
Chair, this is why I ask my apology for an apology and please. Definitely, Chair. Chair, the committee has requested a list of projects. I don't have that information at the moment, but because these projects are in DORA, we will download after I've answered the question. We will download and make it available.
No, don't worry. In the next 2-3 days, send us the whole list from your own office.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Okay. And there was a question about where exactly these projects are located. If, without getting into detail, we look at municipalities. For instance, we look at areas where more than one municipality has to share the resource with other municipalities. That is where we concentrate. So basically, that is where one. There are specific conditions. There are also in DORA that guide the use of the project. With regards to contradiction picture, there isn't any contradiction, and maybe I should have explained much better. A decision was taken that in cases where there is capacity in the municipality, the money will be transferred to them. In cases where there is lack of capacity, as various members have indicated and expressed concern, the department will take direct responsibility for implementation. And in those cases, we're using water boards, and we're working very closely with DBAC. I'll be talking about that at a later stage. So where we're talking about difficulties with procurement, it's in those cases where municipalities have said, we do have the capacity, give us the money, we will implement. It is important, again, to emphasize that from our side as the department, this is the first year, we haven't engaged in this project before. So this financial year was the first year where we started. So it really took us a long time to set the program management arrangements, and we do have those in place at the moment. That is why we say we do have the foundation to move forward. I think I've talked about how the project will be implemented. What we do is to, first of all, do a feasibility study to analyze how much water is really available within that locality and whether it will be able to serve the region that has been identified, various municipalities within the region, and of course the appropriate kind of infrastructure, the design and everything. That is the feasibility. And we do emphasize that we have to spend enough time because we cannot afford to make mistakes in that regard. Limpopo is a problem. First of all, it's one of the three provinces that has the biggest backlog in both water and sanitation. There are various interventions that the department has entered into, or rather looked at, and these do not only refer to Limpopo. We have a very comprehensive support program to municipalities. First of all, we're looking at various areas where we have to support municipalities. We do support them with planning, where we even go to the extent of appointing people who can be based within the municipality to look at the water business to approach it comprehensively in a business-like manner in which they are supposed to in any event. So we're looking at issues of planning, management of drinking water, management of operation and maintenance of the infrastructure, the actual implementation, which is the most critical one, the actual implementation of the project. We do assist municipalities with it. We have used various tools in the past, including working together with DBSA. Here we do have an agreement with DBSA, the coordination of the engineers that are to be deployed in the municipality is actually being done in the department. So there is a very close working relationship. DPLG has indicated that they require our assistance in terms of directing the resources to municipalities because we know and we understand better where the need is. So we really have, I believe here we are one of those sector departments that are doing very well in as far as support to municipalities. Yes, Chair, please. In as far as support to municipality is concerned, The fact that we won a VUNA Award, Chair, for the second year in succession for support is one of the departments that supporting local government is an illustration. We're really investing a lot of money in making sure that local government succeeds. After all, Chair, can I be protected, please? Thank you very much. Chair, we won the VUNA Award for the second time this year. However, we need to be realistic.
Thank you so much.
Great, madam. Part of the problem here is that you're dealing with all of us who do this thing called constituency work. And then we see some of these things, okay? And then really we're so impatient when we get these kinds of glamorous reports. It's not a big deal, you shouldn't worry much, but it's about how you must also exercise your own authority on your own staff, regional people, and everybody else. Because this is exactly what you're going to get here, intimidation. It's not threat. It's not intimidation. It's about what must happen. Because the laws are very clear. I'm going to read you the Bible after you have finished speaking. There's a good chapter I'm going to read from the Bible for you to take home as a good commission.
Sorry, the person. Now the rigidity is maybe it's right to be concerned, but you mustn't say that, no, she mustn't worry, Chippen. Don't send out that message that says that, no, she mustn't worry. She needs to be worried, Chippen.
You must worry and earn your salary then. Proceed.
Thank you, Chair. I do take the point that you have made. Yes, indeed, we are very concerned. We are very concerned about the sustainability of the infrastructure that we are. Government is investing in, and whether in future it will receive the attention that it requires in terms of sustainability. So we have to be realistic about the capacity of local government and what can be done. The reality is there are limited skills in the country, especially the technical skills on which we rely on. There is a demand for skills. In the private sector, in other infrastructure development projects, and throughout the world, I mean, you do have companies that are recruiting engineers, you know, so there's really a limit to what we can do. However, we are trying our level best, and we are trying to be as innovative as possible. We have entered into various agreements, for instance, with institutions to make sure that we build the capacity in the sector. We're investing a lot of money in training of new engineers. We have established an academy, what we call a learning academy within the department, where we're getting learners from universities, train them in the department, and we're hoping that in future the skills problem at local government level will be addressed. But we should be realistic, Chair, that there is a limit to what we can do in as far as the capacity of local government is concerned. As long as we do still have situations where people who don't have the qualifications to do the job are appointed in key positions in local government, there isn't much we can do. That is outside our scope.
No. Just stop there. Just to stop a bit. I just want to correct something just here and now. Switch off the mic. There is something you can do about this specific matter you are referring to. Relevant competencies are a must. The handbook here is clear about financial competencies. And so you must also develop clear competencies in respect of the sector. And that cannot be and should not be compromised. I'm saying there is something you can do. If you have not thought of doing something from this meeting, you must start thinking of doing something about developing serious competencies so that as and when these people are appointed, the relevant competencies must be available. Especially because you've got a what is this that you talked about? An academy. And clearly, therefore, there's no two ways about it. You've got to work with DPLG, you've got to work with DBSA, but you've also got to ensure that it is also in the handbook, the way we have crafted the MFMA. Financial competences are a must. And I'm sure the competences that you refer to must also be a must. There's no two ways about it. It shouldn't be compromised. Part of the problem is that you'll be investing in this infrastructure that is not sustainable. It's way too expensive. it cannot just be compromised. You've got to do something about it. And we wish you to commit yourself now. But from this meeting in the next 3, 4, 5 months, something is going to be done about that. Don't bemoan it and say it can't be done.
Thanks, Chair. I'll definitely take that up with and look at creative ways of influencing our municipalities, especially in the water sector. Chair, with regard to transfers, when we transfer money, first of all, let me say, before we transfer money for the project, there are certain things that have to be in place. There has to be a feasibility study. We have to interrogate the business plan and see if it is appropriate, and we have to ensure that there is capacity for the project to be implemented. We do sometimes encourage municipalities, in fact, in most cases, if there is that capacity, to use the water boards, because water boards, some of them do have the capacity, technical expertise, to implement the project. In addition to that, we have 9 regional offices. So in each regional office, we have a dedicated program manager that is looking at this program to monitor. I must say, Chair, in the past, we used to have fully fledged, whilst we were implementing the program, before the function went to local government, we used to have fully fledged monitoring and evaluation units in the region. However, those were done away with when the program went to local government. But we are in the process of resuscitating those units. So we do have units in each region that are looking at monitoring of the project. In cases where, for instance, if I can just make an example, with the bucket eradication program, because we did not have enough people, we had to take people from other provinces, our staff, our own staff from other provinces, and sort of deploy them in the provinces where we required monitoring and evaluation. We have to be very strict on how the money is utilized and on how the outputs are achieved, because National Treasury has put in place very strict reporting framework. We don't have an alternative when it comes to that. But as in any other area of our work, of course, there is a room for improvement. And as the program progresses, we should be able to improve on how we effectively monitor. So there are municipalities that do not submit invoices. You indicated that, for instance, financial management is one of those important skills. There are municipalities where there are no systems, no financial management expertise, and it is with those municipalities where we experience problems, where we actually have to go there, provide them with the systems, even though it's outside our scope of support. We go to that extent because it will enhance the overall management of their problems. So there are those cases, and if the Honourable Member seeks specific information, we will make that available. And this is not only confined to this program, it's with other problems as well with that we're running in the department. Another question, the limited budget. The question is actually the concern, I think it's been asked twice. The concern that we are struggling to spend our budget now, and yet we are asking for more money here. Here we did a study some 2 years ago looking at water infrastructure throughout the country. And the challenges that for instance, Eskom highlighted with regards to their old infrastructure, are the kind of challenges. No, Chair, I'm just saying, Chair, we are partners with Eskom and the challenges that they are experiencing with regards to old infrastructure, some of the infrastructure more than 50, 60 years old, are the realities in as far as water infrastructure is concerned. So we did a study throughout the country assessing what would be required if that infrastructure would be refurbished and brought to a state where it can function effectively. And we estimated that we would require around 26 billion to do that over years. So the fact that we've now received 1.2 billion over 3 years, it's an indication that there is more money that is required. However, your concern about our ability to spend and the need for additional funding is a valid one. However, we are putting mechanisms. Remember, this program is at its infancy stages. We are putting in mechanisms in place to make sure that we build that capacity. I don't think Treasury will give us money irresponsibly if they can see that we do not spend. If we ask for more money, it should be based on our cash flows and how the project has performed in the past. So it is from that perspective. So we're very concerned about our infrastructure. The problems in Delmas, for instance, old infrastructure that has not been maintained, that some of that infrastructure has to be replaced totally, some can be refurbished, and that requires a lot of investment. Let me come back again to our initiatives with a DBSA, because that has been raised. And just confirm again once more that we're working very closely with DBSA. We have a partnership, as I have indicated. But we're looking beyond DBSA. We're looking at other mechanisms. Our minister has approached other countries to get engineers. For instance, Cuba, we're looking at the possibility of getting more expertise from India. We really do try our level best to make sure that the skill strategy at local government level, which is a sphere that really matters in as far as service delivery is concerned, is happening. So I think, Chair, this particular topic would require a presentation, and I think we once presented this, our support initiatives to local government. There was concern raised about how Free State and Mpumalanga are progressing at the moment. And we have noted that, Chair, we are also worried, I must be honest and say, we are also worried about progress that has been made to date. And I would like to assure the committee that it is not about spending, it's about making sure that money is spent on what it is intended for. So if we are to declare an understanding, we will definitely do that, especially because the Treasury is aware that the program itself started at a late stage. However, we will try by all means to avoid it. And what we have done is to negotiate with Treasury some of the criteria, or rather the policies of the allocation of money, to make them more flexible so that money can be utilized in other needy areas. So even though initially, for instance, the money was only focusing on regional infrastructure, in cases where there is a dire need to address internal bulk within a municipality, we are discussing with Treasury for that kind of flexibility. So, Chair, this is to confirm that money will not be spent irresponsibly just for the sake of spending, and to say we are increasing our monitoring to make sure that there won't be under expenditure when there is a need for money elsewhere. Mpumalanga, Delmas. Again, Chair, this is a presentation on its own. But just to be brief, the challenges in Delmas are various contributing factors. There's a problem of housing, informal settlement. There's a problem of the maintenance and operation of the infrastructure itself, with the ability of the municipality to chlorinate, to purify the water, that is also a problem. A problem from the health side, about washing, you know, simple hygiene things like washing of hands, contamination of groundwater, you know, there's a whole lot of issues. However, to allay the fears from the Honourable Member, we have reallocated some of the money to Delmas to deal with infrastructure problems from provinces that are not understanding, from problems that are understanding. Govan Lake, budget for education program. All I can say is that indeed Govan Lake has eradicated its budget backlog. However, there has always been confusion within the communities as to the definition of the backlog. The fact that this program was targeting people living in formal houses caused a lot of confusion, with communities living in informal settlements also thinking that they qualify. However, we also learned, because we followed up with the municipality, we also learned that some of the interim measures that they put in place, where they actually used the bucket system, even though it was chemical toilets, also led to these problems. However, that has been since resolved, Chair. I can assure you that we have resolved this problem. The method that we use to verify information, I think it's one of the concerns that has been raised. I did indicate earlier on that progress, we have to account, we report to Parliament on progress that has been made. And up to now, DPLG has not, it's only now that we're working on much more comprehensive information management systems. But we are using our own means to collect information. And we have, because we are supposed to report, we've come up with our own innovative ways of verifying the information. And of course, we have to do this in consultation with a DPLG. There is a move currently that's been driven right from the president's offices to improve on monitoring and evaluation, where the provinces are also playing a role. There's still a lot of work that needs to be done in this regard. We have done studies, for instance, where we have sampled a few municipalities just to have an idea of what's happening down there for our own regulatory function. But I do agree that there's still a lot of improvement that's required in this regard. With regards to projections, by how much we are going to underspend, we are closely monitoring the situation. We will look at progress, and we will report accordingly if we are going to underspend. We will not dump money to municipality towards the end of the financial year, because we'll have to account for this in any event. Chair Limpopo again came up. Yes, I must admit, there were problems with our regional office and the province. There had to be political intervention, and that is the problem. Now, the problem with Limpopo, if we look at water security throughout the country, it's typical apartheid kind of planning that we have inherited, where you find that the provinces that were homelands, there's no water security. That is what we are dealing with in Limpopo. Compared to Western Cape, for instance, there's just no water security in Limpopo. We're going to have to invest billions to build the resource in Limpopo. And that is what the dependence is doing. The fact that we're building the Wop Dam, which is billions of money, it's one of those attempts to improve water security in Limpopo. So the situation in Limpopo is much more critical in the sense that the resource itself is a problem. Unlike in other provinces, where there is water, it's just a question of putting infrastructure and making sure that people do get access to water. There is a comprehensive plan that we have as a department, where we have done studies on fisher dams to be built. We do have dams that have been built under the apartheid era where communities, despite the fact that those dams were built right within the communities, don't have access to water. Those are the challenges that we are addressing. And so I can assure you that the province itself has declared that it's making this year water year. They are today, I think tomorrow, they are having a summit on water, and the department will be there to sort of indicate how we can partner in achieving that objective. So lastly, I will make available the list of allocations per municipality so that you can carry.
No, let me just read the Bible, because there are things that relate to non-compliance with the Bible in the report. Now the Bible here in chapter 45, the heading there is financial misconduct. The verse is 41, verse 45:1. It says, despite anything to the contrary contained in any law. Now, any other law are these, the MFMA, the PFMA, any serious or persistent non-compliance with a provision of this act constitute financial misconduct. And now, you know what happens in terms of this conduct? It says here, financial misconduct is a ground for dismissal or suspension of or other sanction against a member or person referred to. So I'm saying we have these problems that you refer to as non-compliance, and therefore they constitute what I've just read, financial misconduct, and therefore the outcomes are clear. So clearly these are matters that you need to be following up seriously and then deal with them seriously in the context of the Bible. You are guided by the Bible and the hymn books that go with the Bible. On that note, we thank you very much for the submission. There's a whole range of missing gaps that we want to handle. You are mentioning other departments. We are worried about that. We hope that you resolve those matters. And we think from yesterday, the problems that you were talking about of capacity are going to be dealt with, because we have instructed DPRG, DPSA, to go back and look at the audit of all the skills. They are also talking about technical skills that they are deploying, but there seems to be duplication of deployment from in terms of skills somewhere. And we hope that you will also enter the discussion with DPSG and DPSA in respect of the skills that are available. Now there's tea outside. Can everybody have tea for 10 minutes? And a small smoke break.